We can change our language. We can change the way we comb our hair. Amen. We can do different things, but he's the only one capable of changing the heart of man. And he does that now through grace, his unmerited favor. Father, we thank you for the grace that you poured within our hearts. Lord, we ask for more of an understanding of it, more and more of an understanding of being comfortable in our own skin. You know what I'm saying? Being comfortable in your own skin. Realizing that God, when you know him, is not saying that you've got it down, that you're perfected, that you don't have struggles, that there's not things that still need to be worked on in you, but being comfortable in your own skin, that God loves you right where you're at, and that having that relationship with him right where you're at, getting you through everything that we would face, every obstacle. Our hope is in him because he's poured out the Holy Spirit, which is his grace within our hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you for doing that, Lord. And he goes on to say, because of the grace given to me, Paul says, I am a minister as a priest, the gospel of God to the Gentiles. He talks again about this, Paul does in Galatians 2:9. He says, in recognizing the grace that has been given to me, he says, Jesus, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, right? We know who Cephas is, Peter, right? We know who James is and John, right? We know who those leaders are of the church, right? We're talking about those leaders here. We're not talking about a different Peter. So Paul is talking about the leaders, the pillars in the church in Jerusalem and Israel. So starting over again, he says, in recognizing the grace that God had given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. He said, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles. What he was saying is, this gospel of grace that I'm preaching to the Gentiles, God gave me a grace to it to deliver it to you. And we're still living by that same gospel and understanding this to 2,000 years later. We are still under that same grace. Aren't you glad? To God, 1,000 years is a day, right? And a day is 1,000 years. So just a couple of days, 2,000 years being nothing to God, to the Ancient of Days, who is from beginning, has no end. Time has been very short. You think about our time frame on earth, right? What does it say? It's like a vapor. We're here and gone. No matter the struggles, no matter what we go through, it'll all be worth it. When we see his face, man, is it going to be worth it? Just a short time that we're here on earth. Father, thank you that our lives count. Thank you, Lord, that it's not how you start the race, it's how we finish. Thank you, Lord, that those in this room, others in the body of Christ, are going to finish that race well. Be comfortable in your own skin, how he loves us. Enjoy his presence. Say, Lord, I want to enjoy my relationship with you. If you're not enjoying the relationship you have with the Lord, that there might be something in your belief system that might need to be tweaked. There might be something in your belief system that needs a little bit of change. But he's faithful to do that, amen? You just say, Lord, I want everything you have for me. Lord, I want to understand your goodness. Lord, I want to be comfortable in my skin walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, for us. Can I say usins and chino? I think that's plural for us. Is that right, Mr. Reed? He usually tells me if I'm using proper English. So usins, us together being comfortable as a body, who we are in Christ. Amen? Thank you for that, Lord. See, the enemy doesn't want us to be comfortable in our relationship with him. He wants us to believe that there's always something missing. That there's something ingredient, there's something there that's secret you don't know yet. That's what religion will do. You haven't quite got there. If you'll try a little harder, if you'll press in a little more, I'll reveal that to you. But then when I've come to realize with religion, you press in a little more, but then it's not quite enough. You just never quite arrive. So you can never be comfortable within your skin. But when you've accepted him by faith, his grace, unmerited favor. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Never will deserve it. Can't work for it. Can't strive for it. Can't fast for it. Can't read enough of the word. Can't do this. Can't be a good enough boy or girl. Can't give enough to the church. None of those things will make you acceptable to God any more than you are right now, purely by the grace of God that resides in you, if you know him as your Savior. Thank you, Father. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Amen. And even Paul, he took ownership of this gospel. Romans 2:16. On the day when, according, what does Paul say? To my gospel, God will judge the secrets of mankind through what? Through Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? We're going to be judged through Jesus Christ. What did you do with Jesus Christ? Did you yield your life to Jesus Christ? Anything that you tried to accomplish, did you do it through the finished work of the cross? Judging those through Jesus Christ. He says, this is my gospel. Tonight, when we leave here, we just want to have a heart just like Paul says. This is my gospel. My gospel of grace. This belongs to me. You can have it too. You can have it too, but this is my gospel. Paul once again said, on the day according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of mankind through the Christ Jesus. Romans 16:25. I know that's the next chapter, but it's on the subject I want to talk about tonight. It says, now to him who is able to establish you according to, what does he say? To my gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret from long ages past, but now has been disclosed and through the scriptures of the prophets. Was it through a dream or a vision that Paul had this? No, it was through a revelation of the scripture that he got this gospel of grace that you and I live now. Woven in those scriptures. Woven. He didn't have somebody, an angel or Jesus, come to him and say, hey, I want to share something new with you. He said, no. Jesus, through the Spirit of God that lived in him, the Spirit said, hey, now it's time for me to reveal this gospel of grace that I want you to take to the Gentiles, this gospel that is purely 100% by faith. 100% by faith. Thank you, Lord, he says here in his saying that, saying, through the scriptures of the prophets, this is how this is revealed to me, in accordance with the commandments of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. Obedience of faith. I believe. I yield. Lord, come work in my life. It'll always be by that yielding in faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As you walk, as you grow in faith, you become more comfortable in that thinking. You become more comfortable in the truth of what Paul said, my gospel. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the my gospel. Timothy, he keeps going in a couple other places. Let's finish. 2 Timothy 2:8, it says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. This gospel of grace. Remember, he went in the second chapter of Galatians. He says, I had this revelation of the gospel of grace. And he says, I didn't tell anybody about it. I first went up to Jerusalem to talk to Peter, James, and John because I didn't want to be having this and sharing it with others if they didn't agree with it. So he yielded to what they would say about this gospel of grace. So he told me, he said, this is what the Lord has showed me. And they said, they gave him the right hand of fellowship. And they said, hey, we're going to go to stay in Jerusalem and minister to the Jews and the Jewish nation. You can go to the Gentiles. So this thing is saying, my gospel. Amen. What was this gospel anyway? Acts 20:24. What kind of gospel is it? We've been talking about it, but let's read it together. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of God's. Father, we thank you for that tonight, the gospel, your grace. We have to remind ourselves over and over and over again. Father, it is by your grace the Holy Spirit working in my life is by His grace. Me yielding to You, even, Father, is because of Your Holy Spirit wooing me. This gospel of grace, unmerited favor. You know that He says that gospel, which means the almost too good to be true news. Can it be so? Can I be justified? Can I be made whole? Can I be accepted purely by my putting my faith in a man who died 2,000 years ago? And the answer is absolutely 100% yes. Father, we thank You for my gospel. How about you? Is it Your gospel tonight? As Paul says, he's taking ownership. My gospel. God gave me, He said, this gospel to share with you. And Father, I thank You for us taking ownership and saying, this is my gospel, and sharing it to others. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about what my God does and continues to do. Amen. Father, we thank You for that. Amen and amen. He continues on Romans 16. Let's go on a little bit. I want to read Romans 15:16 again in the New American Standard Version. It says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? Who sanctifies you? Well, the blood washes and cleanses you. But who sanctifies you to come live in you? You have to be clean, squeaky clean, for God to come live in you, right? Absolutely. Being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. He's saying that my gospel that I preach, the proof of that being true is the Holy Spirit came to live in people. The Holy Spirit came to live in Gentiles. And I only preached that they needed to trust Jesus by faith. And the proof is in the pudding. It's just like Peter. Remember, he saw that vision and the scroll came down and he saw all those unclean animals and he heard God say, kill and eat. He said, never. Didn't it happen like three times? Well, this is approximately five years after Jesus had risen from the dead and gone to the right hand of the Father. So what kind of tradition was Peter living under still? Jewish, amen? He said, never. And it said he pondered. What did that mean? And then you remember somebody got him. Somebody came to him and said, hey, there's Cornelius, who is a Gentile, who fears the Lord. There's a group of people in his house, and they're waiting on you. So Peter goes over to that house, right? What's the first thing he says? He says, I'm not supposed to be here. You read it. First thing he says is, I'm not supposed to be here. But God showed me a vision that not to call what he calls clean, unclean. So when he went inside Cornelius' house, did he have time to make sure everybody had all their ducks in a row? To make sure that they were following any works or tradition of Jewish tradition? No, God couldn't wait to pour his Spirit out upon all of it. It says, as he began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell. Didn't wait even for an invitation. Let's not put God in a box in church even, that the only way God's going to work is if we have some kind of altar call or this or that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But God will do things in people's heart right in their seats, right where they're at, on the way home from church, on the way to church. The Holy Spirit will work how he desires, amen? Let's not put him in a box. So as he's preaching Jesus, they didn't even get to finish. The Holy Spirit fell. And they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter 1:2. Well, let's go. I'm gonna go back from that. I'm sorry, John. I'm getting ahead of myself. What sanctified mean by the Holy Ghost? It means sanctified, to make holy, purify, and consecrate, hallow. Be holy, to sanctify. That's what the Holy Spirit done in our lives. Amen? Living in us. Used to live in the Ark of the Covenant. Amen? With the Ten Commandments there. And Aaron's rod, right? Jar of manna. And all of that were just a shadow of him living in you and I. Manna being the living bread, Jesus Christ, the bread of life living in you and I. The Ten Commandments, he's says that he's come and lived in us, and that he writes his commandments in our heart and in our minds. Amen. The fruit that rod that Aaron's that budded, the fruit that God wants in our lives. Just a foreshadow of you and I housing the presence of God. Amen. I don't have much more, but I want to mention one more thing before we take communion. I find it interesting. Where's hallowed ground on earth now? It's in you and I. The only hallowed ground where the Holy Spirit resides. And he hovers, he's in the earth, right? But the hallowed ground, that's where he's housed. That's where he's housed. He's not housed anywhere in Jerusalem today. He loves the Jews. I'm not saying that. He's not housed in any other form of religion. He is housed in each individual. Exodus 3, 5, and 6. This has to do with Moses. Then he said, do not drear. Remember, Moses saw the burning bush, right? Where he was at. He was raised in Pharaoh's Egypt. He's left. He's been gone 40 years now. Thank you, honey. So now he's 80 years old. 40 years he's in Egypt. He's in Pharaoh's house, right? And now he's been gone 40 years. So he's pretty much settled in. Amen. This is his life. He's got some wife. He's got some kids. He's running the sheep and the goats. He's a herdsman, right? And so he sees this bush burning. And it's not burning up. It just keeps burning, keeps glowing. So he goes to check it out. And then God says, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You know, there's no other place in the Bible where he says, take your shoes off, this is holy ground. The calling of Isaiah, the great prophet, nothing about take your shoes off. Nothing about it when David was anointed with oil by Samuel, taking your shoes off. No other great leader in the Bible, just this one example of taking your shoes off, for this is holy ground. And I wonder, so why did you do that, Lord? Because you didn't do anywhere else. You know, just to try it out, I took my shoes off and I went outside and started walking around. You want to feel vulnerable? Take your shoes off in Chino Valley, go out walk in your yard a bit. He's in a desert. Can you imagine the feet, the vulnerability that he has as his shoes are removed? He couldn't run. He couldn't do anything but listen to God there. And you know, when God being holy and coming and living us, it should make us vulnerable. Saying, Lord, I want to hear your voice. See, we're the holy ground now. Let's have a heart where we take our shoes off and say, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. I'm willing to be vulnerable, Lord. I'm willing to yield my life no matter where it takes me, because I know that you only take me to good places. Lord, you only take me to good places. I can be vulnerable. I can trust you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, I'm holy. I'm hallowed ground, Lord. I can take my shoes off. I can stay. I can relax. I don't have to run from you anymore. I'm home. Take your shoes off. I want to live in you, your holy ground. Amen. We thank you for that tonight, Father God. We thank you, Father, we can be vulnerable with you, Father. We can trust you in our lives. You're not going to take us anywhere but good places. Religion tells you that he's going to take you to hard, rough places, but God takes you to good places and gets you through every trial, every temptation, every struggle, forgiving us because of the blood that was shed on the cross. We thank you, Father, that we are holy ground. We don't have to run anymore, amen? We can take our shoes off. We're home. We can be vulnerable, Father God. You'll never lead us astray. You'll never hurt us. You're not like an earthly father or an earthly mother, although they may do their best. But you are perfect towards us, amen. I say you're perfect towards us, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord. The holy God, the God who is holy, perfect, has no sin, never has sinned. Not even a shadow or shipping shape or shadow, it says in James, in his character. But yet he lives in me, who makes mistakes every day, who does things every day he shouldn't. And the Holy Spirit is still there. That's how powerful the cross is. Let's take communion together. As Russ helps him pass, this is a perfect time. Let's take communion together. Father, we thank you. Amen. Do you love him tonight? That was kind of improv right at the end. Please feel free to take communion with us. Amen. We'll take a second as Gina starts playing lightly in the background. And Lori. Thank you, Lord, that we are righteous and holy in your sight. If you're willing and able, could you stand up for a couple minutes? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you could do something, if you're willing, do you have a pretty good imagination? Can you see pictures in your mind pretty good? This afternoon, I was thinking about communion. In my mind, I could just see Golgotha, where they hung Jesus on that, not a mountain, but a hill, right? And you could see all the way around, and you could see all 360 around. You could see down into Jerusalem. You could see the valley and everything you could see. In my mind, I was thinking I could see that. Not Jesus on the cross, because I saw him as he was off the cross now. He's dead. Yeah. He was in the tomb 3 days. Okay. He rose again, amen. But I could see in my mind the cross, his in the middle, the two on each side, amen. I could still see the blood-soaked cross. They had removed him down. He had bled, every drop of blood out of their body. And then they had taken that side and put it right through him, and blood and water mixture come out. So that blood-soaked cross and what it represents today. How powerful as we take communion is that blood-soaked cross. Even 2,000 years later, who knows what happened to that cross? Doesn't matter, because what God's wrath on sin had been satisfied. It was done. The curtain over the Holy of Holies was rent in half, meaning I'm not dwelling there anymore. He was saying, I'll never dwell there again, for a shadow of him living in you and I. So, Father, as we take this communion tonight, Lord, myself, maybe you, God wants to remind you something specific about his goodness in your life. Or maybe like me, just to remember that cross. I see it in my mind. It's nobody's on it. It's done once. The blood once, one time, his sacrifice, because he was perfect. Living the law. He fulfilled the law, not even committing one sin. And then the wrath of God towards sin being poured out on him, punishing him so that you and I could go off scot-free. The propitiation of sin, scot-free. Can you believe that I am free from my past? Yes. The Lord's going to help me with all my struggles in the future, all because of that blood-soaked cross. Father, we thank you for that tonight. Lord, as we take this bread, if you would take this bread, it says that his body was broken for us. The lashes, the whipping, the pulling out of the beard, the punching him, saying, "You're a prophet, aren't you? Tell us who hit you, who struck you." The plucking of his beard. Isaiah says that you couldn't even recognize him. Couldn't even recognize him, but all of that had a purpose. It wasn't because a good man decided to give his life, but all of it had a purpose. The crown of thorns for a sound mind in Jesus' name. The stripes on our back for healing, not just in our physical, but our emotional well-being in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen? Amen. Yes. All of those things that had a purpose so that you and I tonight can stand here and take this and say, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. All my hope is in you." And hope does not disappoint. Why? Because he has given us his Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for that tonight as we take of your bread. This cup, amen. Just simple, Lord, just thank you for the blood that was poured out for all. Sprinkled on the, once a year on the covenant, on the Holy of Holies. It sprinkled blood. But now it says that we've been sprinkled with that blood. Amen, Father. So we thank you for that. Thank you for washing every sin away. Thank you that we are holy because of the blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Is this your gospel? As Paul said, my gospel. Lord, we thank you that this is our gospel. And the proof is a changed life. Absolutely changed life. A radically changed life.
Yes, Lord.
So if we could, after taking communion, we're just going to sing a song together, and then we're going to be released tonight. Sound okay? Amen. Amen.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Sing it again. Oh, the blood. Oh, 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 the blood of Jesus. Oh, that precious blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What has made me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. One more time. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Father, we thank you tonight for your precious blood and for every person here tonight. God, I pray a special blessing upon your people. The rest of this week, we pray for favor, we pray for strength, we pray for protection, God. Lord, that you would be with them, that you would provide every need according to your riches and glory, Father. We just bless the people of God and the rest of our week. In Jesus' name, amen.